Now we're getting into a civilized looking area. Yeah.
Seattle Water Department, Forestry Division, Cedar Falls Watershed, and the residential community here. Kind of leaving employees who work here, whatever this place is. We're now in front of a city light building here in the Cedar River's place. It looks as though it's a small power generating station, but it doesn't really say anything any place about what it is. Yeah, on the mailbox it says Cedar Falls Powerhouse. That's a sign that says danger, truck crossing, 300 feet, be prepared to stop.
Mark Bernay is trying desperately to drive over a stream.
Oh my God, we're going through that quick.
Mark Bernay just drove through a stream down a road that goes nowhere except to an emergency air landing strip. By the way, this is being recorded on May 30th, 1970.
We are eating our bad food lunch in a triple X drive-in, and Chris Bernay dropped his great big heavy glass mug of root beer out the window, and it smashed all over the floor, and everyone looked around and laughed at him for it. What is Chris Renee is sitting there giggling about something? I don't know why. Would you giggle for the mic for us, please, Chris Renee?
No. Mark Renee's French fries.
I have to go.
Mark Renee is backing out, and I hope he breaks his tires. Oh, here they come with a broom. Mark Bernay is trying to get me to steal his car so he can make a scandal sheet. We are now driving on a gravel road which is supposed to take us to Leicester, which is
snow on the ground too. There's some more snow coming up on the road.
Oh, should we go out and play in the snow? Mark Bernay just burped. He also made some idiotic attempt to kill me to death, but it, of course, failed.
Remember when I said last time, Leicester 14 miles?
Yeah.
Remember how long ago that was? Now Leicester 13 miles. That was 20 minutes ago, and we only went 1 mile.
That's ridiculous. Now you're lying.
That sign said Leicester 13
miles. That's ridiculous.
Miles.
I don't believe it. Where the heck are you going?
This is the way it's said to
Lester. That's true. Let's tune around and see what's on the radio. There is snow all over the ground. When I find out what that radio station was, I shall tell you. We're driving over an outrageous road that has something like speed bumps on it.
Lester, 1 mile.
Mark Bernay wants to go home. He also wishes to warn Stuart Bernay at this time that his life is in great peril.
The reason for that is that it was Stuart Bernay who first told me about the town of Leicester and who told me the phones would probably be interesting there. It's all his fault that we are trying to get to Leicester. Stuart Bernay is going to be dead as soon as we get back to Seattle.
That's the 5 miles.
This recording was made from Leicester, Washington. The phone system doesn't seem to be anything conventional like STEP. You can't hear the STEP switches making any noises, and since the town only has a population of about 110 people, it's probably just some set of relays or something. You listen to the dial tone come on, and in STEP, dial tones don't usually come on quite this fast. Now I'll let you listen to the dial tone, which is has just a wonderful tone quality. Now I'll dial the number of the payphone, 657-9461. Not today. Making funny noises. No, we don't. We don't have to contact the operator. Hold on, you know.
Apparently, Chris Bernay doesn't know how to dial a phone. He gets all those dingbat things just trying to dial his own phone number, so I'll have to do it for him. Notice that the busy signal came on after six digits. I assume that's because probably everything in this town is on 10-party lines, and they're just nice to you. They don't make you bother to dial the last digit, because it's all it's going to do is choose the party line anyway, and if one's busy, they're all busy. Chris is going around now trying to find that noisy line he had before. It's pretty interesting. You get silence, but then every time you dial anything, you get a loud click as though a step switch is operating or something. Except you never get anywhere, it just sits there silent. Plus, if you click the hook switch once, a dial tone comes on superimposed on those clickings, and then every time you do anything, you hear the dial tone and also those clickings at the same time. You have no idea what it is. While Chris was playing, let me tell you a little bit about the town of Lester. Apparently, this is a logging town. The population of the town is about 110, 120 people, something like that. It's nothing but dirt roads all around here, including in the center of town. It's just a dirt road. The only town itself is simply a few houses, like about 20 or 30 houses, on each side of that one main dirt road. There doesn't seem to be any stores or anything else around here. The only reason there's a payphone here is that there's a train station, and we're just inside the train station. This train station has two other phones out in the lobby here besides the payphone. One of them is an ordinary Western Electric dial wall phone, except that it has a little button on top of it and a little sign that says lift plunger before dialing or talking. Then right below that is a crank phone made by Automatic Electric, one of the old-fashioned ones with a crank on the side where you pick up the handset and crank to get somebody. I have no idea who those two phones go to. Then mounted much lower on the wall, about 2 feet above the floor, there's a little plastic box that looks like it has a battery in it, and the battery is probably to operate the crank phone.
We have now left the town of Lester, or are leaving it anyway, looking for a grocery store. While Mark Bernay was telling you about the phone and the town, etc., the nice, friendly station agent came up and started asking all kinds of embarrassing questions about what we were doing, playing with the telephone and things like that. And so we were nice and polite and everything and sort of left in a hurry. I never could make that funny clicking thing do anything worthwhile. 549-08070-654-32-10 all seemed to react the same way. About once out of every five times they would click into this the dial tone you heard, and then shortly after that the dial tone would disappear and you could make that funny click by dialing any number of times. If you dialed while the dial tone was on, the dial tone would stay on, and you would still get that funny click. You may have noticed Mark Bernay has either bad batteries or a bad motor, and probably both, in this tape recorder, but the dial tone really did go up and down in tone. It wasn't just a tape recorder. In a recording from Lester. I'm going to lend Mark Bernay the batteries from my cassette machine, which I brought along to prove to him that his Craig is inferior, which it is. We just came to the trademark of all small towns, a tavern. Mark Bernay has been avoiding going to Black Diamond since the hydroplane races last year when I went there with him on a phone trip. So if we don't go today, I'm going to start a petition.
Hold on a second, everybody. I have to kill somebody.
What? When Mark Bernay was trying to kill me, he lost control of the car and had to stop right in the middle of the road. We just passed by the Stampede Pass weather station, but we are not going to go up there because the road doesn't look passable. And
we didn't exactly just pass it by. It's 2 miles away from here.
Well,
a very crummy looking dirt road. Not that the road we're on now is any better, mind you.
Yes, listen to it.
There's snow piled up 4 and 5 feet on the side of the road now. And this is recorded on May 30th. There should not be snow, but there is piled up several feet.
We should get out and play in the snow, Mark Bernay.
Oh.
You can hear it splashing if you listen carefully. You can also hear the rocks. There's been several of them.
I think your microphone just got wet.
Mark Bernay really doesn't pick the best places to go to. I'm trying to prevent the wind from blowing on the microphone so you can hear the snow. We're driving through another one of those streams, and the microphone is wet now. This time it really is. I'm not kidding. Mark Bernay is driving like an absolute maniac. We are now on Highway 90 again, and we're heading toward the town of Roslyn, where one can make free phone calls by various and sundry means. It's about 30 or 35 miles from where we are right now. Mark Bernay is going to clock it. It's 20 miles to Clay Ellum, and Roslyn is right near there. And then we're going to go to Ronald, and then we're going to go to Clay Ellum, and then we're going to go to Ellensburg. Mark Bernay has a few words to say about Roslyn.
Yes, someone who used to work at Boeing went to college with the son of the person who owns the Roslyn Telephone Company, and he told me a little bit about it. It's supposed to be in the basement or something like that of an old abandoned building where from the outside it looks like it's an old abandoned warehouse, but you kind of break in through something or other, and then you go down to the basement, and there's this little old phone operator sitting down there, and there's a bunch of steps which is sitting around her or something. I don't know if we'll be able to get in it, but maybe we'll try getting in.
This will go down in MBS history. The Roslyn payphone has been moved. We have now left Roslyn because Mark Bernay was too chicken to go help a poor maiden in distress get a nickel out of the telephone. We're heading for Ronald, and we'll return to Roslyn later on today, unless Ronald has the same phone prefix. We are now in Ronald, parking by a weird-looking phone booth. Oops. The phone number of the payphone is 8896. Excuse me, 8896.
The prefix is 649er, area code 509er. All the phone says on it is simply the number 8896 in a little black dymo label. doesn't have any other number on it.
Richard.
This is an independent telephone company. I don't know the name of it. The payphone is automatic electric, and the equipment is straight step-by-step, which means, if you will remember the lectures on straight step-by-step, that every digit that you dial actually operates the switch in the central office, that every time you turn your dial, something is moving in the central office in response to your dial, and step-by-step-by-step setting up the connection to the number that you dialed. For example, this is the payphone number being dialed. Now this town also has a lot of digit absorbers in it, so you don't always have to dial the full digit. Like, for example, I can dial only the last four digits, 8, 8, 9, or 6, and I'll still get the same payphone number, for example. The ringback code here is 33. You dial 33 and then two other digits, and then hang up your phone. The two other digits determine what you'll hear on your ringback, like what pattern you'll hear. You dial, for example, 3311, you'll just get a simple ringing, just like an ordinary phone ringing. But if you dial 3355, you get weird things like this. People in home phones here dial one, then a digit to tell which side of the party line they are on, and then the phone number to make long-distance calls. If we try that from the payphone, we get the following. I'll dial one, you'll immediately hear the long-distance noises of the tandem, whatever I'm going into. Then I'll dial a zero, just to give it something to keep the party line part happy. Then I'll dial 212-222-2222. Notice how I got knocked back to a dial tone there. That's what always happens if you try doing it. You can dial all 10 digits of the number, but then you end up being knocked back to the dial tone. It's so slightly interesting because the dial tone you first get when you're knocked back to it just sits there about half volume. It'll stay there like that until you click the hook switch once. Then you click the hook switch once, then the dial tone will go to full volume, and you can start dialing a new number. Normally, if you pick the phone up, however, you just get the full volume dial tone right away. The operator, by the way, is located in Yakima. End of recording from Roswell.
We hope that this will teach Mark Bernay to use better batteries after this because of the ridiculous quality of this recording.